This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Zach Gelb Show right here coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. We'll continue to chat some NCAA hoops right now. We'll do so with the head men's basketball coach at Texas Tech. They're 18-10 on the season. Third in the Big 12 standings and 22nd in the AP poll. That's Chris Beard, who did lead the Red Raiders to the national championship game a year ago. And he's kind enough to join us back on CBS Sports Radio. Coach, thanks for the time. And how you been?
Been well, thanks.
Well, we really do appreciate you coming on. And I remember last year when we talked to you, it was right when you guys punched your ticket to go to the Final Four after beating Gonzaga. And one of the first things that was on your mind was when you got back to Lubbock, you wanted someone there waiting for you with the Whataburger, a number one order. Just out of curiosity, what's on your mind today, maybe for dinner coming up in a few hours?
Not really thinking about dinner today. We got a big, big game on Saturday, as everybody does. So it's probably going to be the manager's going to get something and everybody eating in the office tonight.
So it seems like a Whataburger order is what you're telling me?
Well, Whataburger is about four out of six nights right now. It's probably a pretty good case for a yes.
Chris Beard here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. So you got the game coming up on Saturday with Texas, at noon Eastern. Should be a very good matchup with two teams, and we always know what the rivalry is there. But real quickly, though, when we look back at last year, how long did it take for you guys to move on from that run last year with all the emotional highs, getting to the Final Four, getting to the championship game, and then we do know the end result? How long did it take you guys to move on as a program?
Oh, not long. You know, that team was based on four seniors and then Jared Culver leaving early. So certainly after that last game on Monday night against Virginia, those guys were pursuing professional basketball pretty quick. And we only have three returners on this year's team that played on that team. So, obviously an emotional piece when every season ends, really wasn't any different than any other season. They all end with emotion. One team gets to end with that good emotion and, that would be a goal of mine to feel that at some point in my career. But, it's a good question. It's not like we sat around and beat ourselves up over it. We talk a lot about enjoying the ride, not just the destination. So, you take a few days off physically and mentally, and then you get back to work. And that's the thing I'm probably most proud about this year's team. Three returners is all we have, and two of those guys played in games last year in the regular rotation. But to be right here with March right around the corner and to be relative, to still be competing for so much, I'm really proud of this year's team.
On a national stage last year, we saw Moretti and Kyler Edwards have some really good games. How have they improved their game when we look at this year's team?
Yeah, there's so many great stories in college basketball each year, and they're all deserving. And I know there's just not time or area to tell them all, but there certainly is a story here in Lubbock, Texas. And those two guys, Morrill and Kyler, have been our starting backcourt. They both really improved their games. Kyler has gone from being a jump shooter to a real player that can play at all three levels and one of the best defenders, in my opinion, in the Big 12. And then Morrow has moved over to that kind of leadership role and has done a good job. Numbers are down just a little bit from last year, but he's in that number one seat and he's being game planned for. But simply stated, those two guys have made Texas basketball relevant, competitive again this year, been in top 25 most of the year and still a part of the fight here down the stretch. So those two guys are our returners, our most experienced players. I think they deserve a lot of credit for keeping Texas Tech relevant.
Chris Beard here with us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. You know, just with the nature of the sport, people remember how you finish in March Madness in the NCAA tournament the last 2 years. You go to an Elite Eight. Last year, you lose in the national championship game. The identity of this year's team, what makes this group special after seeing them post an 18-10 record and be 22nd in the nation?
Well, like I said earlier, I mean, it's a tough group. It's a group that's formed their own identity, their own expectations. You know, again, when you only return two players and you have new guys, freshmen, grad transfers, we've had some adversity. We didn't get the waiver for Joel that we thought that he was deserving of. We've overcome that adversity the best we can. We've had an injury with maybe the best athlete in our program. Tyreek Smith didn't play this year because of injury, and we just haven't let any of these things become excuses. And led by Morrow and Kyler, these guys have really turned this team into a different journey, their own identity. And we don't talk much about last year or 2 years ago around here. This team is more than capable of making a run and winning any game that's ahead of us to this point. You know, we've already beaten some really good teams, some highly ranked teams. Of course, we have Baylor and Kansas right here in our league. We've been competitive with those guys, and we got a crack at each of those guys here in the next week. So, you know, the optimism in our program is the same as it always is. We think that there's a way to win every 40-minute game, and our objective and idea is that we're going to try to do that.
For Jamias Ramsey, has he exceeded expectations, or is this the player that you thought when you brought him into the program?
Yeah, I wouldn't say exceeded because we have such high expectations. The best thing about Ramsey is he, you know, he beats to his own drum. He's got an idea of where he is and where he wants to go. And so it's pretty cool. You don't see that a lot in freshmen. He's played well, no doubt about it. He's really learned and grown. An exciting thing is I think he's ready to play his best basketball when it matters most in college basketball, and that's, you know, March and April. And he's been fun to coach. He's a talented player. But the really, really exciting thing is he's got a whole nother level of ceiling that we think we can get out of him down the stretch.
I understand a few weeks ago his mother lost her house in a fire, and it was, you know, a terrible scene, and she lost almost everything, and that was his home growing up. How's the family doing, and how do you look back on that time, which was tough a few weeks ago?
I appreciate you asking about that. It's kind of a special thing in sports. You know, a lot of times all the negative stuff that happens in the world gets the attention, but there's so many good things that go on, not only in college basketball, but in athletics and just the world in general. And it was just cool to see so many people rally to help his mom. She was literally kind of just without anything, right? Like, you know, when you lose every possession you have, you kind of wonder what you're going to wear the next day. And, you know, I think the NCAA made a nice kind of common sense ruling that, you know, the Texas Tech could assist that. So we set up the GoFundMe page. We ran it all through the NCAA, and they approved, which was nice to see, and we're appreciative. And just a lot of people stepped up, and it wasn't like it was all Texas Tech people either. I mean, you got people from even other schools in our conference. And so that's the cool thing about sports, you know, when teams rally for things that are more important than the game we all play.
How do you check in on a player? Because when you're a freshman, there's going to be struggles on the court, but they pale into comparison to what happened with his mother off the court. As a coach, how are you there to be more than just a coach, but, you know, kind of a big-time figure of someone that you interact with him each and every day on a daily basis?
Well, I can't speak for everybody, but in our program, it's all about relationships. You know, it starts in recruiting. It goes all the way to, you know, the day one of us sitting here. Hopefully that'll be me, so our players live long lives. But, you know, I mean, just with a lot more important things in basketball, and we remind our guys of that daily. And unfortunately, just all the things that seem to happen, you know, whether it be Kobe Bryant and everything that we learn from him and respect about him and praying for his family. And, you know, as basketball, we pour our lives and souls and hearts in this thing, and it's really, really important. But in the big scheme, there's things that are more important.
Chris Beard here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. They have Texas coming up on Saturday. Let me ask you about the two transfers in Chris Clark and TJ Holyfield. Last year, we knew the transfer mind hit gold for you guys. How about this year with Chris and TJ?
Well, again, I think I got to give those guys a lot of credit. You know, we're an NCAA tournament team. We're a team that has competed this year in almost every game. I think we're a team that could make a run. You know, we're a team that's set up that I think can beat anybody in college basketball on any given day. And those guys have been big keys for us. Our two oldest players, they've done a great job coming in here and kind of buying in to the way we do things. And, you know, the whole grad transfer thing, and we've got a little bit of experience around here with it. It's not just about talent. It's about the ability to fit in to a new culture, a new team, a new system in 1 year. And that's hard to do. You know, you think about Chris, he played at Virginia Tech for 3 years, Holyfield 3 years, and Stephen F. Austin, and now you show up. It's not a matter of whether, you know, you can dribble, pass, shoot, and defend. It's a matter of, hey, can I fit into this thing? Can I figure it out? Can I be a follower and a leader? And I think those guys are doing a good job. And ultimately, you know, we're all kind of judged in this college basketball thing, you know, how it ends in March. But I have a lot of confidence in those two guys. And I would tell you that their buy-in to our program has been 100%. And down the stretch, I think those guys have earned the right to play well.
You're the CEO of the program, as we're talking to Chris Beard on CBS Sports Radio. When you talk about buying into that culture, how would you describe the culture of the Texas Tech men's basketball team?
Well, for us, it starts with all about unselfishness. You know, we want to be a team. We pull for each other. You know, we're all on the same page. We can disagree, but we always align when it's time to compete. And, you know, we try to start that in recruiting. You know, we've always just told guys that through team success comes individual, you know, victory. And it's a great example around here when, you know, Zaire's a one and done, Culver's a lottery pick. And to me, that's related to the Elite Eight national championship run. So, you know, that's probably the biggest thing about us. You know, everybody, toughness, talent, you know, of course. But around here, we do value an unselfishness. And we talk about it, we recruit it, we build it, we defend it. We grow it, and you know, this year's team's done a good job with it.
When we look at Texas on Saturday, you know that's going to be a dogfight this time of the year. Everybody's hungry. What are the main points of emphasis? What stands out about Shaka's team?
I've always been a huge supporter of Shaka. We're friends, and just a lot of respect for him. And I think somebody's true character comes out, you know, during adversity. We've had some here this year, which I've talked about, you know, with Joel's waiver, Tariq's injury, we had a concussion. Ramsey was out for a few games. And certainly the same thing could be said for Texas. They've had some key players with injuries. They've lost some really close games. But when it matters most, here they are, three-game winning streak, playing with a spirit about them. You know, I think you got to give the coach and the culture credit for that. Zero quit in that program. We expect them to play their best game of the year Saturday. We're going to try to match that. But I think Texas is a team that's gotten better throughout the year. I think it's always a representation of the head coach, in my opinion.
You guys are in the top 25. With all you said about some of the adversity that you've overcome this year, how do you look at this year? Is it a little frustrating? Is it rewarding? You know, it seems like you are confident, though, with your team. So how do you look at this year?
No, we're on the ride, man. We're right here. We've got a chance here down the stretch with a couple home games, a crack at number one Kansas, number two Baylor. I think will be a factor in Kansas City as we compete for a championship in the Big 12. And then certainly, you know, again, whether it be our win against Louisville, who was number one at the time, whether it be some ranked wins we have, some winning streaks we have, I think for us it's all about consistency. Like, we're not sitting around wondering if we're good enough. We've proven that we are. We're just sitting around trying to figure out how we can be consistent and play our best basketball when it matters most.
With all the teams that you played this year, and you mentioned, you know, you got Baylor, Kansas, you've already played them. You got them coming up again, you know, before the end of the regular season. You play Kentucky, West Virginia, Louisville, Creighton. Who's the best team, in your opinion, that you faced this year, Coach?
Oh, I'm not much of a comparison. You know, I think, to me, the great thing about college basketball is when the ball goes up, there's two teams, and you know, the best team doesn't have to win. It's just the team that plays better in that 40. But I respect the question. You know, what I would tell you is we've played several teams that, in my opinion, are, you know, good enough to get to the Final Four. It started early when we had a chance to play Iowa. I mean, a really, really good college team. Now, it doesn't surprise me the kind of year they're having, and I love Coach and everything they're doing out there. Creighton, as you mentioned, obviously Louisville, right here in our league, Baylor and Kansas, two of the best teams in college basketball. And then there's a lot of teams like us that can beat, you know, a Baylor or Kansas on any given night. So we played a great schedule this year. It's given us a chance to improve. But a lot of really good teams in college basketball this year, and we've seen a lot of them face-to-face.
What is it about Baylor and Kansas? Because we all saw that matchup over the weekend, and that was really something between those two heavyweights. That was a show they put on, you know, in Waco.
In my opinion, this year it's their defense. You know, of course, it's the coaching and the talent and the NBA players. But, I mean, these are two special defenses. They do it both a little bit different. But these are two of the elite defenses in college basketball. It's really difficult to score against them. You're not going to get anything easy. They have really competitive pieces in each spot. They defend together. It's really the identity of both teams. And certainly Baylor playing man-to-man this year, and then Kansas. I can't emphasize enough how good those two defenses are.
Last one for Chris Beard, who's been great with us on the Zach Gelb Show. Number 22, his team is in the nation, 18-10, third in the Big 12. They have Texas coming up on Saturday. You know the grind to reach success in this sport. We've documented all the stops that you had along the way. Just out of curiosity, when you have a young coach that's looking to one day become a head coach, what are some things that you say to that young coach with you being cognizant of what it takes to get to a program like where you are at today and have the ultimate success?
You know, a couple of things that people have told me over the years really always kind of stick out. You know, one, it's like, you know, just embrace the job you have today. Like, I think the best coaches around the country are guys that wake up every day and coach their teams and do their jobs and say, hey, man, I've got the best job in the world. I think it's the guys that are always kind of looking around the corner, you know, regret that later on. And I've really always felt that. I really have. When I was at Incarnate Word College in 1995 working for Danny Casper, I mean, I woke up every day with Pete and Steve Lutz. And I thought I was Bob Knight. I thought I was Coach K. I love to coach. So it's always some advice is to find some joy where your feet are at that moment. You know, I mean, and two, you got to make some decisions in coaching, just like any profession. And, you know, I've always kind of thought about this. Somebody that told me this that I really, really respect. You know, there are no, like, right decisions. If there were, you could, like, foretell the future. But what you do is you make a decision, and then you make it right by your attitude, not looking back, work ethic, no excuse in this deal. So, you know, we have a lot of young guys on our staff that we're helping promote and move up in the business, and that's two of the things that I really believe in is, you know, living where your feet are and doing the best job you can in the role you have right now today. And then two, just understanding when you make a decision, don't look back, make it right.
When you get some free time, what do you do for fun to kind of distract yourself from the daily grind?
Well, I got three daughters, and you know, they're my life along with Randy, my fiance, so try to spend as much time as I can with the four women in my life. And then from time to time, when the four women give me a hall pass, I like to float a river with an adult beverage, no cell phone, and a little sunblock.
That's awesome. Coach, we always appreciate it when you come on. Thanks so much.
Okay, see you soon.
Great stuff with Chris Beard right there on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we come back, some injury news with a huge star in the NBA.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. The Zach Gelb Show is on the air across the nation on CBS Sports Radio. Here's Zach Gelb.
And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios, who found a better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house home. A Rocket Mortgage push button, get mortgage. Also, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, and it's sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy.
And now, breaking news on the Zach Gelb Show.
The breaking news, LeBron James, who last night had a season-high 40 points in a victory over Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson with the New Orleans Pelicans, will not be playing in tomorrow's night's game against the Golden State Warriors. He has a sore groin. From the Lakers' Twitter account, LeBron James out tomorrow night. Anthony Davis, who has a sore left elbow, though, is probable. I'm Zach Gelb with the breaking news. That sounded really newsy.
I love it.
Can we get that cheesy breaking news sounder just one more time?
And now, breaking news on the Zach Gelb Show.
Today, Mikey B had dinner. Mike, what did you have for dinner?
Well, Zach, I'm glad you asked, and here's the full report. It was some linguine and then some Italian chicken sausage that was low calorie because I'm insecure about myself. Back to you.
Any mushrooms in that linguine?
Nope.
No mushrooms. Good. No mushrooms. I'm allergic. D-Ben, where did you go to get your delivery order in today?
I went to a wonderful establishment around the corner called Essen. That's like an all-around cafeteria, and I got some sushi.
That was the place that Mikey B once took me to. I was very hungry after a show. He goes, "We got to go to this Essen place. You're going to love it. It's like a fat kid in a candy store. They have sushi. They have pizza. They have soups. They have salads. They have pasta. They have all this stuff." We walk into the store, and it was late at night, and there was about one little line open, and they had a few sandwiches that I don't think I would be interested in.
In my defense, it was the first time I had been inside Essen past 10 o'clock, and I was not sure what it would be like then. Typically, I'm there in an earlier hour when it is hustling and bustling. I think you'll enjoy it if we go in there at a work hour where people are going in for lunch and dinner.
So 3:30-ish one day. Maybe I get in here a little extra early and we go to Essen, and I'll see if it is actually the way that you described it. To your defense, as you would say, though, like when you said that, if I had to just intervene and offer you a little advice.
Yeah, please.
If you haven't been to a place at that hour, you shouldn't hype it up as it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. I don't tell you to go to a restaurant for dinner and tell you, oh, they make the best dinner menu. But, you know, I'm going to take you there at 12 p.m.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I think my excitement level for you going inside the building clouded my judgment in taking you at the time, which is 100% on me. But I so desperately wanted to see your joy that I get out of going into that place that I miscalculated and, you know, clearly misjudged that. But moving forward, I'll do better and we'll make sure you get a nice meal.
You have a weird fetish. This is what I've learned.
Oh, boy.
You get a lot of joy out of seeing people eat food or get their food.
That's not a fetish.
You have a fetish.
I like to see people happy from food. If you want to call it a fetish, fine. I call it just being human.
When Jessica goes and picks up food and brings it into the house, you get a little excited, don't you?
I get very excited.
It's his favorite part of the day.
He goes, what's the car again? Yeah, you got a new car. I was listening to the podcast, right?
2017 Toyota RAV4. It's my wife's old car, yeah.
Jessica brings in some food, and he goes right away, honey, we're going not to the bedroom. We're going right to the car. It's time to record the Mikey B Uber Eats Mike Delivers podcast.
I just got a text from her that she was defrosting some meatballs. I'm so pumped for later. I'm so excited. It's my mother-in-law's meatballs. I'm pumped.
You're going to eat those meatballs.
I'm going to have those meatballs when I get home tonight. It's like my big plans tonight.
Extra gravy, extra sauce.
That's right. Going to enjoy that. Maybe no pasta, though. You know, just to
yeah, you don't want
the carbs
too many
late at night.
So do you call it gravy or do you call it sauce?
I call it sauce.
Yeah, I usually call it sauce, too. My dad, though, and my grandmother, they call it gravy. Mm-hmm. And I got that confused at first because I think gravy as in turkey gravy. But then the gravy as in the sauce that they put on lasagna is what they were calling it.
Yeah.
So I was a little bit confused, but now I understand the lingo that for my grandmother and for my father, gravy is just pretty much damn good tomato sauce.
That's right.
Our poll question today at CBS Sports Radio, at Zach Gelb. Who would you want as your starting quarterback for this upcoming season? Here are the options. Jameis Winston, Cam Newton, Ben Roethlisberger. Right now, early returns, Big Ben at 45.3%, Cam Newton at 34%, and Jameis Winston at 20.7%. When we break these down, Big Ben. We know he's accomplished 2 Super Bowl rings. He's going to be a Hall of Famer, but he's coming off an elbow injury, and he's about to turn 38 years old. For Cam, was once an MVP, once got his team to a Super Bowl. Ever since, though, his career has been underwhelming, and in recent years, shoulder injury, and this past year, the foot injury. And for Jameis, he's young. He could throw 30 touchdowns. He could throw for 5,000 yards, but he could also throw 30 interceptions and fumble the football like 10, 11, 12 times in a season. So when I look at this for this upcoming season, if I want to say which quarterback's in the best spot, I think it's Ben because of that defense. I still don't know what the identity of that offense is, but I'm very concerned about Ben because of the injury. However, his team, though, is the team that's closest to getting to the playoffs. Carolina, they're rebuilding. The Bucs, they have talent. What's holding them back, though, right now are those turnovers and their defense. They have problems defensively. I know they had the leader, Shaq Barrett, this past year, led the league in sacks. But they have to improve that defense, and they have to bring Barrett back. So when I look at all these options, which quarterback would I want as your starting QB for this upcoming season? I think this is going to surprise a lot of people, but I'm going with Jameis Winston because I don't know what Ben is going to be coming off injury, especially about to be 38. I don't know what Cam is going to be coming off shoulder and a foot injury. For Jameis, I know what he is. And I don't believe in Jameis Winston and being a franchise quarterback. And I question his decision-making in a big-time way. But if you could find a way to just cut the turnovers down in half, you got a damn pretty good quarter, a pretty damn good quarterback. I don't believe, though, with Jameis consistently, though, he'll be able to cut down those turnovers. But for 1 year next year, would it be crazy if Jameis Winston throws for 5,000 yards, 32 touchdowns, and let's say 14 or 15 picks? I don't think it would be the craziest thing in the world. So when I look at their careers, Ben had the best career, then it's Cam, and then it's Jameis Winston. But for next season, if I had to pick one, because of the health and just knowing what you have to eliminate, and with the unknown that Cam and Ben are, I would actually take Jameis Winston, who's in third place of this poll right now at 20.7%. of the votes. So make sure you get those votes in. If you want to get on the telephone lines as well, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Which QB would you want starting for your team next season? Jameis, Cam, or Big Ben? When we come back, we have to look at something that's being discussed with Jalen Hurts that drives me absolutely nuts. And also, Tua Tagovailoa. Who is going to be the team that drafts Tua Tagovailoa? We'll answer those questions when we come back.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is The Zach Gelb Show. Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
This weekend on CBS, a back-to-back college hoops doubleheader starting on Saturday with number 1 Kansas at Kansas State, followed by 15th-ranked Auburn at number 8 Kentucky. Then on Sunday, Big East action between Xavier and Georgetown, and one of the fiercest rivalries in college sports as Michigan visits 23rd-ranked Ohio State. The road to the Final Four is on CBS. It's the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up at 8:40 p.m. Eastern, 5:40 p.m. Pacific, we'll head down to Indianapolis. Ben Lieber is covering the combine. He is a former football player for the Vikings and also the Chargers, and also calls games for Fox with college football. And at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific, Wes Wilcox will join us, the former NBA general manager of the Atlanta Hawks. He'll stop by as we have to chat a few things going on in the NBA. Let me get to, though, right now, this Jalen Hurts changing position entire conversation, which I think is one of the dumbest narratives that exists. When you have a successful quarterback in college who has competed at a very high level, and all of a sudden people don't want to give him a chance to be a quarterback. We saw this nonsense with Lamar Jackson. And I call it nonsense, and I really do mean that. Because I didn't know what Lamar Jackson was and how he was going to project as an NFL quarterback coming out of college. But I always said this. I said this 1,000 times probably when I was hosting overnights on the weekends right here on CBS Sports Radio during that entire process. I don't know what he is in terms of how effective he will be as an NFL quarterback, but with what I've seen in college, he is 100% deserving of getting that opportunity to display his abilities at the QB position on the NFL level. And can you imagine if people were actually dumb enough to change his position, what we would have been robbed of? Would he even have been a good running back? Would he even have been a good wide receiver? We don't know. We haven't seen him at running back. We haven't seen him at wide receiver. We've only seen him at a quarterback position in college and in the NFL. And what he was able to do this last year with that rise, it was one of the great surprising sports moments of this past calendar year. Going from a quarterback that people wanted to have him be pulled up against the Chargers in that playoff game, to the next year finally being the guy for the full 16 games. And in that opportunity, he lights up the league, takes the league by storm. Not only a great football player, but has turned into one of the marketable faces of the NFL, where kids are rushing and parents are rushing to buy Lamar Jackson jerseys. And he became the MVP of the league. Are there shortcomings of Lamar Jackson? Are there things that he needs to improve? Sure. Just like how there's things that Jimmy G needs to improve. And a lot of times we try to so quickly right away, and we're victim of this all the time. And we're to blame of this too. We try to so quickly say that this guy's not a franchise quarterback or this guy's a franchise quarterback. And you need a few years to figure this out. You really do. But with what we've seen so far from Lamar Jackson and Jimmy G, for Lamar, we've seen him not even at his best, still win an MVP in this league, which is bonkers. As you saw this past season, did end for them. And then for Jimmy G, it's the same thing. First full time being a starting quarterback, full 16 games, and it ended in a sour note, but there's still a lot of positives to pull from. So for Jalen Hurts, I don't think he'll be a first-round quarterback. Where will he go? Maybe at the earliest, the second round. Now, it would not shock me if he's a second-round pick, but he's probably a third or a fourth-round draft pick. But that's a kid who it's going to be very tough to bet against. Because whenever he gets a chip on his shoulder, he proves people wrong. Tua was a better quarterback. He was a better quarterback at Alabama. When he got benched, though, Jalen Hurts handled it the perfect way. And then when we get into what was the SEC title game, when you remember that whole story, you had Jalen Hurts get pulled at that championship game up against Georgia. Tua comes in, lights it up. Devontae Smith, game-winning touchdown throw from Tua in overtime. And then the next year, Tua gets hurt in the SEC title game. He gets hurt, and Jalen Hurts comes in and gets him the SEC title game victory up against Georgia when Kirby's Smart ran that stupid, and I mean absolutely stupid, fake punt, which I still can't get over. And Tua eventually lost in the national championship game to Clemson. And then this past year, look what Jalen Hurts did. He goes to Oklahoma and at times looked like he was a Heisman quarterback. He needs to improve throwing the football. The odds are against him to be a starting quarterback consistently in this National Football League, but he's definitely deserving of a shot. And you know, one team, and I've now said this for about 2-3 months, one team that wouldn't surprise me if they take a flyer on Jalen Hurts, especially if he's around in the third round, fourth round, I think it's the Patriots. If Brady comes back, let's say Brady wants to play for 2 more years, he gets to, you know, Jalen Hurts gets to learn from Tom Brady, and then you could pass the baton to a guy that's a winner, to a guy that is all class, and he can improve his skills. That's a situation to me that makes a lot of sense. And if you watch that Belichick and Saban documentary, Saban was so annoyed, and he made this clear in the documentary, how many NFL head coaches don't talk to him about his players? And Saban said something along the lines, I've never been wrong about projecting or predicting on how I think one of my players will be in the NFL. Which, I believe Nick Saban is a tremendous resource, one of the greatest college coaches ever, and a tremendous resource in that process. But with that being said, you have to be wrong about a player or two. You have to be. Was he killing Trent Richardson before the draft? And also, if that's the case, yeah, NFL career as a head coach wasn't all that great. Your evaluations, though, in the college game, I don't necessarily know all your players, but maybe they would have been a little bit better. You know, off the top of my head, I don't remember those two Saban draft classes when he was with the Miami Dolphins. I don't off the top of my head. But I believe that connection with Belichick and Saban, if Saban has a positive recommendation about Jalen Hurts, maybe the Patriots end up getting him. But the part of the conversation that annoys me is, and we'll play the audio right now. Let's do that first, and then I'll tell you what annoys me. Here's Jalen Hurts when asked about if he's going to be changing positions or if he would if a team approached him about it.
I've always been a team first guy, but I think I'm a quarterback. I think that's that.
So the part of me that is annoyed by this is when you hear that, the narrative starts. Why are we going down this road again? And I'm doing the same thing right now. Why are we going down this road again? Didn't we learn anything from the Lamar Jackson situation? And then you read that no NFL team actually asked him to change position. It was just a question that was asked. But that question being asked, it's obnoxious because that reporter, whoever it was, knows what he or she is trying to accomplish there. Why don't we ask every other, let's say, white quarterback why they should change positions? That's the part that really annoys me, where it only happens with black quarterbacks, where we start to say, change positions. That shouldn't happen. Jalen Hurts should be given an opportunity to be a quarterback in this league. And if it doesn't work out, he's not a National Football League player. Because what basis do you have that he could succeed somewhere else? Now, if he gets to that point, and we've seen, to be fair, we've seen some white quarterbacks change positions. You know, Julian Edelman was a quarterback. He ends up being a wide receiver, but it's different. So we see that happen. You know, Taysom Hill played different positions, but eventually he's going to be a quarterback. So it does happen, to be fair. But that question, why aren't we asking it all the time to, let's just say, I don't know, give me a random quarterback in this draft, D-Ben, a white random quarterback that's not Joe Burrow.
Jake Fromm.
Yeah, why aren't we saying to Jake Fromm, hey, Jake, why don't you change positions? Who, State Farm did a tremendous promotion with Jake Fromm this year at the Super Bowl. Jake from State Farm, and they had him dressed up in the khakis and the red polo t-shirt. So to get the understanding of the Jalen Hurts situation, for Jalen Hurts, he was just asked the question. No teams at the combine asked him, though, to actually try out for another position. Now, if a team, here's the one part I'd be okay with it. If a team had a reasonable and logical explanation and they're convinced that he could be a tremendous wide receiver, then maybe it's okay to ask, but what are you basing that off of? It's not as if Jalen Hurts, when Tua was playing for Alabama, was then going to play wide receiver. That would be a different situation. This guy is a quarterback. And he's shown enough. He was not a great college quarterback. He was good, though. And he was a winner. He's shown enough in this league to get that opportunity, to deserve that right. And now it's going to be up to him to show it on a field and on a NFL field if he could win a starting job and do so for many years to come. I don't like, though, that question being asked. And the reason why I don't like it is there's no basis to suggest that he should change positions. If there was a basis, if there was a foundation for him to switch positions, different conversation. But here, there's no basis. Zach Yelp Show, CBS Sports Radio. When we come back, we'll get into this Tua conversation. Also, we got a lot of audio for you. Marquise Pouncey is saying quite a few things about this new CBA, and a lot of players are chirping about the CBA. There's one thing to chirp, and then there's another thing to explain what you're mad about. We'll chat about that next on the Zach Yelp Show right here on CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.